scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated!
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoked it crack!
What's happening? Thrilled Hockey Report, Cody Jansen with you. We are coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports and the Hockey Podcast Network. Beautiful Wednesday. It's sunny outside. It's glowing. Got a bit of a different camera angle here. I've talked to the producer about that one after the show. We're also kind of crooked in the backdrop. Yeah, none of it matters. What's going on? Join the conversation anytime. Say what's up. You want to talk hockey, hop in the conversation chat right now. The Hockey Podcast Network, YouTube, 12 Ounce Sports, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Zingo TV channel 761. That's where you can find us today. It's a beautiful day out there. And as I said, you know, it's also a meaningful day. It's an important day where, you know, we look back 4 years ago, and the world changed. Our lives changed. You know, probably one of the most, you know, traumatic incidents in a lot of people's lives that weren't even directly affected, including myself with the Humboldt Broncos bus crash. You know, it's a very somber moment to look back on. Again, our thoughts and prayers daily goes out to those families, everyone affected. It's not just the 16 we lost that day, and you know, because of that incident, it's everyone who's been touched by this, and the Humboldt Broncos, their effect on the hockey world, on the world in general. You know, that can't go unnoticed, so it's going to live on. We're going to remember them. And you know, 4 years ago today, the world definitely changed. And let's you know, we could talk about that for a while, but we'll dive into the show here. Scores last night: Buffalo doubles up Carolina 4-2, Ottawa over Montreal 6-3, Florida beats Toronto 7-6, Rangers beat New Jersey 3-1, Columbus beats Philly 4-2, Colorado over Pittsburgh 6-4, they clinch a playoff spot. Detroit, what a game. Detroit and Boston, they were throwing mitts at the end. Nashville absolutely bullies Minnesota. The Wild are soft, 6-2. Preds win that one. Dallas gets past the Isles 3-2, and the Oilers in overtime. We'll get to that, too. We got an interesting comment from McDavid. We've got Adam wanting to call in, too. So maybe we'll connect with Erm here before we get things going. Still to come on the show today, Tyler Cool is going to hop on. Him and Pete Tucci. So we'll talk with Tyler. We'll talk with him about the PHF. So we obviously stirred up some drama on that. We got to clear the air. You know, it's not something I'm not going to sit back here and say, hey, I'm not going to stand by my comments. I don't do that. I ain't one to really delete tweets too often. So we'll dive into it because we got differing opinions and it's got to be talked about. It's got to be an open conversation. And Tyler's going to come on because he's a straightforward, upfront guy about it. And then we'll get into NHL Best Bets with Pete Tucci. You guys already know and love his show. It's Everyday Philly Pete on Pete's Power Plays Tuesday through Thursday, 10 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. Okay, we got Erm on the line now. Erm, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I was just hanging out at lunchtime here, so just fire away.
Oh, I guess our clocks are now synced up, eh? Because you're, yeah. Wow, that works. So lunchtime.
You never ask me anymore. We have this thing together, and you never ask me to come on.
Too good for us anyways to begin with. So if you got a question for Erm, you can join the conversation right now. Get that in on YouTube, the Hockey Podcast Network, and 12 Ounce Sports. Where do we want to start last night? Oilers goal, or we want to talk Leafs?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't see the Leafs game because it was all blocked out. But, I mean, I was getting the notifications, and I watched the overtime. I don't know. I mean, you go up 5-1, and, I mean, to be fair, this Eric Schallgren experience, I think they're on, like, their – in the minors, they're down to, like, their sixth goalie. They, like, signed a guy at a Trinity Western the other day. So, I mean, they started Schallgren. Probably shouldn't have. I mean,
Ryland Peranto in the system.
I know. But for their issues, I mean, the whole Labushkin getting scratched thing, I don't think I agreed with, because he's the guy who's really, I think, solidified their defense. And, you know, he's played tough and added something there where, you know, if you look at their right side, it's TJ Brody, Justin Hull, and I don't know, Timothy Liljegren. I don't think that's a tough enough right side, especially when you got, you know, heavy guys like Barkov, Mason Marchman, for Hagee on Florida. It's tough to defend.
I think that's fair, but also, in a sense, we got to look at the other side of the ice, and Florida was getting smacked by them for 40 minutes. And again, they were getting smacked in the first 40 by the Devils. Are you concerned about the Panthers? Because, hey, you're all over them. We know how you feel about them. But, oof, I don't know. I'm not convinced on Florida. I think they could be another first-round exit this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've lost a little bit of confidence in them, just given what they've done in net, because they essentially demoted Spencer Knight this year, right? I mean, he went down to Charlotte and played in the minors. And if you look at Sergei Bobrovsky, his last couple of games, pulled against Toronto 4 goals, pulled against New Jersey 6 goals, shut out for Chicago then, his games before that 4-3-3-3-2-0-4-5. Like he hasn't played very well. And I mean, they don't really have a back. Their backup is Spencer Knight. And, you know, you can make the argument that he's technically not ready. I know he got a shutout the other night, but I mean, their back end is supposed to be solidified. And right now without Ekblad, they better hope to God he's healthy.
Yeah, and hope he can play 27 minutes tonight. Jacob says, what's wrong with Detroit? Well, they looked pretty damn fine yesterday. You know, it's, they handled Boston. It got ugly at the end of that game. Did you see the video?
Yeah, I did. You had, like, Patrice Bergeron, like, dropping F-bombs out there, which you've never seen.
Well, I mean, Bergeron was a little heated, but again, it wasn't like it was one thing going off. Like, it was just time after time where, you know, it looked like the refs had control of it, and then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, shit's breaking loose again.
Yeah, but as for Detroit, I mean, like anyone, I think they're missing three defensemen. Like, their best defenseman's 20, their second best one's 23, and then, you know, after Sider and Hirona, could go down to Mark Stahl, Danny DeKeyser. I mean, they're missing a few defensemen. I'm not sure if they'd be in on Chychrun, but I think that'd be a great get for them. I know that they're high on Simon Edvinson. I don't mind their forward depth, but, you know, right now they're missing Jacob Vrana for the year too. So, I mean, they just don't have enough defense.
Jacob loves THPN says, is the guy wearing the Red Wings hat the same guy that is using the N-word the other day? Well, I'm wearing a Wings hat, but I'm not dropping the N-word. That's a little over the line for anything we would do here. So I think you got the wrong guy, Jacob. Hey, let's talk Oilers now. McDavid gets that unreal feed. Did you watch the whole game?
Unfortunately, yes. It wasn't a great game.
I heard it sucked. I didn't stay up for it.
It was like 1-0 and it was a power play goal, 1-0. And I honestly said, I was watching with my buddy. I was like, has either team had a scoring chance in the last 20 minutes? Like, it was kind of one of those low event games. I mean, Edmonton was obviously missing Drysdale, but found a way to win a 2-1 game, which isn't something that you've been able to say a lot about the Oilers.
Who was in goal for San Jose? Was it Sochenko or no?
No, it was James Reimer.
Oh, okay. I was going to say it'd be cool to see Sochenko play against, like, Phelps. What's your thoughts on Noah Phelps? I mean, you know, we got to watch him in the U Sports Cup. I watched a lot of the final. Saw some of their quarterfinal. Didn't really see the semifinal. Obviously, I mean, he's a heck of a player. He got his stint in the American League earlier. Like, do you think there's NHL potential there?
I do. I mean, he's a 6'3", right, shot centerman. I mean, if his brother signed out of University of Alberta a couple of years ago, if his brother, I think, was on a – had a worse NHL team to get called up to, he probably would have been called up by now, but he's with Calgary and they're too good. But I mean, he's in Stockton and doing well. But yeah, for Noah Phelps, I mean, kind of one of those guys who you kind of have to make the decision, I guess, as a junior guy at the age of 20. I mean, sure, you could go sign maybe an AHL deal, get buried a bit, and also piss away your free schooling where you get 20 grand for. Or you can go to U Sports and, you know, if you want to keep the dream alive, it gets scouted. And if you produce, and, you know, maybe a team signing you and being in on you is a little different than you signing a tryout just coming out of junior, if you know what I mean.
What was your thoughts on UNB losing out in the quarterfinals?
It's crazy. I mean, poor Ryland Peranto, but I guess that's just what happens at those tournaments. Unless it's basketball, I think Carlton's the team that wins every year.
Yeah, they beat Saskatchewan. I saw that. So not surprising there. Hey, when you look at the other teams in the league right now, I'd say Colorado is probably one of the hotter ones. Are they the team to beat coming out of the West still?
Yeah, it's hard to say they're not. They're a little banged up right now, though. I mean, Kadri and Landeskog are both out. But for all the people who are saying, oh, maybe Fleury goes to Colorado, like, Darcy Kuemper is going to be top five in Vezina voting again this year. And sure, he's had the odd, you know, injury here and there, but yeah, it's hard to see Colorado losing, but the one team, well, but also if Colorado plays Vegas in the first round, that's, I think that could be interesting. That could be a good series.
Colorado's going to win that. Come on.
I would
think. You think so, Vegas is going to hold a chance just because Robin Leonard deleted his Twitter or what?
I mean, yeah, the whole Robin Leonard Vegas thing. I don't know. I mean, it seems Vegas just has tried to go and get every guy, and they've maybe lost some of their identity. But yeah, Colorado, I mean, Minnesota with, I think, how they play could give teams upsets, but.
Yeah, unless they play Nashville in the first round, they're done in four.
It's hard to see Colorado, you know, losing, but I guess that's why you play.
What do you think of the Wild right now? Because that Fleury addition seemed awesome, but they're also a team where if they lose out in the first round, Adam, I don't think we're overly surprised. We're like, oh, damn, well, they're in the Central. It's tough anyways. Like, it's they're not a runaway team at all.
No, not at all. I mean, who are they likely going to play? St. Louis? I mean, or Nashville? Like, it's,
that's what I'm saying. If they face Nashville, they're screwed. St. Louis, you've got a chance. But again, St. Louis is a different team with Husso than Binnington this year, where, again, Binnington could catch heat and no one would be overly surprised. But that's not an easy out by any means.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure, like, if it's, you know, there's any guarantees, like, who's going to pick the East Division playoffs this year? Like, right? Like, who's going to, with confidence, pick all four matches? But, yeah, as for Minnesota, I mean, the DeLaurier's addition, and, you know, they've got a little bit more from Tyson Jostin, Jake Middleton. I think they've kind of solidified their team where they don't have to play, you know, guys who maybe aren't ready and stuff like that. And they have this Greenway, Foligno, Eriksson, Ekholm that, you know, would give any team's headaches. So, good, but, you know, I think the one thing with them is that they rely quite a bit on Zuccarello and Kaprizov, and I mean, you'd like to see a team a little deeper down the middle as well.
Well, Jacob's done calling us racist, so now he wants to know if Vegas makes the playoffs, and I think Dallas still has a couple of games in hand on them, and Dallas is up by a point or two. Like, is there a chance we don't see Vegas in the dance this year, Adam?
Yeah, there's a good chance. I mean, it's just, I have no idea what to make of the Dallas Stars the last couple of years. Like, they turned their team over to Jason Robertson and Roope Hintz, but they just, it's just weird. Like, you watch them and you say, okay, I think they're good. And then they go and lose to, I don't know, like Montreal or whoever, like somebody they shouldn't lose to down the stretch. But they're a weird team. Them and Winnipeg are kind of the two where it was like, what are you guys this year?
So do you think Calgary's going to finish top of the Pacific still? Like, they're up by 4 points on Edmonton, two games in hand. But the way the Flames have been playing, it's not convincing.
Haven't played great. They've had a lot of guys. I mean, I think if you look at their lineup, Mangiapane has like 3 goals in 18 or 19 games. Blake Coleman hasn't been hot. Michael Backlund. They have a lot of guys who aren't playing good. But at the same time, I look, they have, I think, the second easiest schedule remaining, where it's like they play Seattle twice, Arizona, Chicago, Anaheim, San Jose. Like, I think they'll finish first pretty handily.
And in the East, obviously Carolina's, like, I mean, they're in a battle with the Rangers up there. I think Carolina's still going to finish first in the Metropolitan, but Atlantic, Florida's got that locked up. I don't know. I still think that Tampa Bay come playoff time is going to be the hardest out in the East.
Yeah, and I mean, if Tampa Bay finishes first wild card, I guess we could say, if they finish first wild card and play Carolina, I mean, I think I know who I'm picking that series. We saw it last year, and like, it just, they have a couple guys, and I mean, I'm hypothetically talking Carolina-Tampa right now, but they have a couple of guys where it's like Carolina can't match that. Like, love Jacob Slavin, but, you know, Victor Hedman's on the other side. Love Sebastian Aho, but Brayden Point, Nikita Kucherov are on the other side. And I mean, just Freddie Anderson, like, you talk about playoff cobwebs, he's got a whole pile of them.
Yeah, a whole pile of series. Imagine if Carolina ends up playing Toronto too. Like, that would be an absolute nightmare for Freddie Anderson. I can't imagine it. Hey, let's close it out here. I got one more for you. It's Dreisaitl and Matthews. You knew the conversation was going to come up here. Both of them elite goal scorers, that's for sure. But if you're going to pick one for your team today, who are you taking?
You're going to do this to me.
You got to pick a side. You can't just be a floater the whole time.
No, I'll take Dreisaitl. Whatever people are going to say, oh, you're biased because you watch the Oilers, maybe, but it's just, Matthews plays with Mitch Marner, and I don't think that can be discounted. Look, if you're asking a guy to score for anywhere, it's Matthews, but the way Dreisaitl can play down low and kind of grind away games and make passes that Matthews just can't, I think gives him the leg up.
I think that's fair. Who do you think wins the Rocket Richard this year?
I think Matthews wins. I don't know how much Dreisaitl will play down this stretch.
Ah, what a bust, Dreisaitl. Faking injuries, too, like Tim Stützle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How about Gallagher? Like, I get why he said it, but it was like...
But yeah,
He got kneed and high sticked in that game. Like, what do you... Like, I mean, obviously... And the knee was, like, looked definitely like a Charlie
But Ford, also, so Gallagher's like, no angel. Like, we know that. Yeah. That's for sure. Gallagher ain't one to be shy to fake fall on a goalie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you look at how Gallagher's played for how long. And I mean, he can't stay healthy either. So I don't know why he's complaining about stuff.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. We'll roll the clip later on in the show. Adam, buddy, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Adam Armentrout right there joining us on World Hockey Report. We got to get to a commercial break here. Jacob, I never called you a racist if you were the one using the N-word. Well, I don't even know what you're getting at. I don't know why it's in the conversation right now. But we'll switch gears. We'll talk with Tyler Cool. If you got any evidence of us being racist, it's going to be dealt with World Hockey Report. But I'll tell you for free, it ain't us. Well, sure as heck ain't me. I'll stick my neck on the line with that one. Hey, we're going to go off to a commercial break. Tyler Kuhl is on the way when we come back. It's World Hockey Report presented by Quack Stats. Be sure to go check out DraftKings. Use promo code THPN as well. Two titles are up for grabs on the stacked UFC 273 fight card. Join the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New customers can bet just $5 on any fighter and get $100 in free bets, win or lose, guaranteed. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the excitement. Everyone can play for a share of millions in prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy MMA contest. DraftKings safe, secure, reliable. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $5 on UFC 273 and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN this Saturday at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. 21 plus, restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Take your game to the next level with Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Pro Rock is changing the way we buy top-of-the-line twigs. They're lightweight, balanced, and provide the perfect kick point, whether you're a pro hockey player or a beer league legend. Pro Rock Hockey Sticks are made for you. They're at a price point you can't beat, so check them out today at ProRock.com. Play like a Pro Rock.
What we do here is go back.
A little loud on the return there. We'll have a talk with the producer. We'll have a talk with the producer after that one. The intro is coming in hot. What's going on? It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report. We're coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports, the Hockey Podcast Network. If you missed any of the conversation with Adam earlier, you can download the podcast after the show. Still coming up, NHL Best Bets with Philly Pete. Pete Tucci is going to hop on the show, but now we'll snap it over to the great state of Michigan. And, hey, I'm wearing my Wings hat today, so shout out Detroit. What's going on? Tyler Kuhl joins us now. Tyler, what's going on?
Well, Cody, you know what? You always like to say you never like to pick favorites. So why not wear a hat for a team that's not going to make the playoffs? How about it?
You know what? It's actually, I don't even remember where I got it. It's a cool hat. It's unique. And I think that's why I got it where, you know, I don't have a favorite NHL team. I'm not buying a jersey, but I've got like different little memorabilia pieces from everyone. So I thought the Wings was a cool touch that I could add today.
I will say this. I know you're always like never buy anyone's sweater. I would love to have a sweater from every NHL team. I mean, granted, they'd be a specific one, like a classic one or maybe a throwback or a couple of the teams from the reverse retros last year I'd consider. But, you know, but then again, that get a little expensive for some of us that are
in the media industry. Jerseys are crazy expensive. I never,
like even like the, never you could go to like the off-brand ones, right? Like the ones that you are hoping that the like the logo stays sewn yeah. on or ironed on or whatever. Like even those get up to the triple digits.
100%. Hey, while we got you on though, what's up, Corey Kitty's in the chat says hi. What's going on, Corey? How's the NHL hi, treating you? Jacob's in there too. He says, ITT, you were I'm not even going to dive into that conversation. Jacob, we're here to talk hockey. If there is a serious issue, though, which I would consider racism as one, let's get that dealt with privately and we'll address it. But I have not seen that from anyone on our World Hockey Report team.
I will say, I don't mean to do a shameless plug of something that doesn't exist anymore, Janner, but remember you and I had that conversation during the bubble playoffs when the league took a pause from the playoffs, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, we you and I did a show that day, and we talked about it and whatnot. So, Jake, if you think Janner is one of those people, I say you should go listen to an old episode of The Kuehl Show, because we went into that. That was like 40 minutes we went into it. But anyways,
hey, just trying to help you out there, Cody. Those are important issues, though. And again, we've never been afraid to discuss that. That's why I said, hey, if there's some shit going on with World Hockey Report where someone I don't know about is being racist, we'll deal with that. Corey, who's your favorite NHL team? You're in the chat. Might as well get that out there. But Tyler, I want to ask you, and we had this conversation, World Hockey Report, we were canceled a couple of weeks ago. Here we are again. But it's about the PHF. And let's just start with your general thoughts, because it's a conversation we need to have, and you've always been an open book. So I want your thoughts on the PHF, the final.
The final, well, first of all, that was I don't want to say unexpected, because I mean the Boston Pride came in, they had to go into the first round because they didn't get a bye like Connecticut or Toronto did. Didn't have as great of a regular season as many expected, but they did exactly what they did in the 2021 bubble and surprised people in the semifinals and in the playoff rounds, because they are, I mean, you talk about how great Florida and Toronto was last time. Like, oh, is this stuff going to be in the playoffs? Because it would make the playoffs so much more fun. The Boston Pride are that team every year in the playoffs that makes the game boring, makes the game, you know, a little bit slower, and it pays off for them. You know, this is a team, the Boston Pride, that didn't have a single player that, you know, put over 10 goals in during the 20-game regular season. And I mean, sure, the Buffalo Buttes didn't do it, but even Minnesota and Metropolitan that finished in the bottom half, you know, those were teams that were able to have some scoring touch. But, you know, you look at it, you know, Katie Burr, I think, was probably the MVP of the tournament. I know Callie Flanagan, Taylor Wintowski, but both played really well. But Katie Burr was sensational. I mean, she only gave up 3 goals in the 3 games and was stellar against the best team in the best offensive team during the regular season in Connecticut in the championship game, 32 saves coming in clutch, and they won it again. You know, they're the first and so far only multi-time Isabel Cup champs for a reason. And they shoot, you know what? They might be another team that finishes third, because I like Toronto, how they're building. I like how Connecticut's built over the last year or so, and somehow Boston will still be in the thick of it in the end, because they're like, for a little bit, they were like the Boston Bruins were in the, you know, the mid to late 2010s, where, you know what, they might not be the best team, but they have this tough guy named Chara, this pesky guy named Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak, and they'll somehow find their way into the Final Four or something like that. So maybe it's something in the water over there in New England in that chowder genre that just makes Boston teams pesky good when it comes to the playoffs.
So, what I mean, you broke down the games perfectly there. Like, I can't do a better job of breaking it down from a player perspective. One thing I was really impressed with was the broadcast quality, because they stepped it up 30,000 times from their Twitch broadcasts. Oh, yeah. And again, I know they were doing Twitch broadcasts this year. it just wasn't as successful. It's a niche market. It was cool when they did the NWHL bubble, but there was also a lot of niche things succeeding during that time that just don't have a hope of succeeding right now. Hey, do you think, but the location, playing in Florida, good or bad? I don't think it helps grow in the game at all, but I want your opinion.
Well, you and I kind of talked about this earlier this week when we were kind of setting this one up here. I remember there was something that came to my mind when we talked about it. 2012, Fair State Boston College and the NCAA Men's National Championship game. The Frozen Four that year was in Tampa. And, you know, it was the idea was that, grow the college game. And I'm for it. Grow the game, do what you can. But, you know, it was kind of weird having college hockey in Florida. Like, that's probably what, and that's why whenever you hear rumors about the World Juniors going to Florida, almost get shot down right away by the IIHF because they're like, why not put it in Buffalo? Because we can have Canadians come down. Now, granted, anyone who's ever been in Florida, 75% is American, 25% is Canadian. So you're probably going to get a good turnout for a World Junior tournament, but that's a discussion for a different day. You know, watching the games, I was impressed by, the amount of support that came down there. It was pretty split for all the teams, especially, there's a lot of Ontarians and Torontonians that go to Florida during the colder months. So there were still probably quite a few in Tampa and then the St. Pete area, on vacation, the snowbirds and whatnot. But it was different because, typically, you like to see in the playoffs, you like to see the home ice advantage, right? Like you see the NHL playoffs or in the early stages of college tournaments and obviously junior hockey galore. I like the idea though, but I think because they did a good job promoting it because it wasn't like it was an empty seat, empty arena. And unfortunately, it's one of those situations where I know they, they did put them in a practice rink. Do you want to see a championship in a full bowl? Absolutely. But was it going to be feasible? Because really, I'm trying to think, what's the closest ECHL team to Tampa? It's not the Everblades. No, the Everblades are up in the Panhandle. Gosh, I'm trying to think.
But you've got
Tanner.
Multiple ECHL, SPHL rinks, and I sorry to cut you off there. I was just going to take the floor by myself. You know how I am. But no, like there is multiple bowls there where you don't exactly have to rent out the Amalie Arena. Although I think it would have been smart to do that, and fill up the lower bowl, block off the top half, and get people in. Because one of the stories I'll use time and time again, and I heard it, it was on a podcast a while ago. So it was one of the first Saskatchewan Rush games, and I don't know how much you know about Saskatchewan. Ain't no one know anything about lacrosse, before the Rush came to town. And so what did they do? They sold maybe 1,000 tickets for their first game that rink seats 14,000. They gave away like 6,000-7,000 tickets. They said, come to a game. We think you'll enjoy it and you'll come back. You'll buy tickets. Well, look at how the team succeeded right now. But it doesn't happen if you don't put an investment in and believe in your product. So I don't think that believing in your product is, putting them in a community center in front of 1,000 people and saying, well, we packed it. If NHL teams want to get involved, they can do it. I don't know. That's what rattles my cage right there about wanting to get the maximum exposure for your players. That's not it.
And I agree with you. I do think because, they had the NWHL All-Star Game in Nashville 1 year. And that's, Bridgestone is certainly not a small rink in its own right either. So I see what you're saying there. And, would have been better? Sure. Would it have been feasible given the fact that that's when they wanted to have the playoffs? Because I didn't bother looking off the top of my head now if Tampa actually was at home that weekend. But even then, you could have done it where you played before the Lightning or after the Lightning. And I agree. And that's why I think, because you mentioned that the TV and the production, that was such a big deal coming into the season was the ESPN Plus deal. We were kind of unsure how it was going to work. There were certainly some bugs that had to be worked out early on in the season. But by the end here, we had Steve Goldstein doing the Isabel Cup finals, and he was part of the playoffs. I know he couldn't do the semifinals on Sunday, but
okay,
he was
cutting you off. Hey, why the hell is Leah Hextall not doing games? It's on ESPN. You want the best female announcer in the game, put her behind the mic. Simple as that, Tyler. We're broadcast people. You know my thoughts there.
That is a very good point, Janner. And, I don't know, because I know she's been doing a lot of in between the bench work lately. I don't know if she had any other contractual obligations. I think that I feel like, I get what you're saying, because I know you're a big fan of her, and I am too. And that's why I wonder, I don't want to say it, but is it because it's a Canadian thing? But then again, she's been able to work in the United States this entire year for ESPN. So she might have been like, that's my thing. Is it a schedule thing?
That's the only excuse. But then there's also plenty of other very capable female announcers who I would have loved to hear on the call. Also, quick shout out, Habs fan. Hey, we're doing good. Hope you're doing good as well. Shout out to the Habs. Carey Price back on the ice. Love to see it. Dylan says, awesome show, buddy. Hey, Dylan, you're awesome as well. Does Bruce stay in Vancouver? I don't know. We'll talk about that in the offseason, Dylan. Damn it, we're having another conversation going on about the PHF right now. Tyler Kuhl, my guest, freelance play-by-play voice. He's done international stuff for IIHF before, also the voice of college hockey. Calls about a million games in the month of March. So we're talking PHF right now, and you know, when it comes down to the reporters, media members, who obviously are not fond of World Hockey Report, I think there's a gatekeeping aspect to this, and I want your thoughts on why you think that certain women's hockey media members, they refuse to acknowledge the PWHPA. You know, leagues like the SDHL bringing in 6,500 fans to playoff games. 6,500. I'll repeat that. So that's probably 6-7 times what was at the PHF final. Why do you think that some of these, you know, hockey reporters who claim to be all fully supportive of women's hockey turn a blind eye to stuff like that?
I hear what you're saying, Janner. I'm not going to say you're totally wrong, because I know there are some that are pretty pro PHF. I wouldn't say they totally admit it, but I get what you're saying. They like to focus more on, I guess, on the professional league that is actually here. Obviously, we have to clarify the Professional Women's Player Hockey Association is just that, an association, and they've been around showcases. Now, yes, the rumors are galore right now that maybe we can touch on here in a little bit. But I that's why, like, I tell people this. I'm literally the guy that will wear my Toronto 6 t-shirt, and when it's cold outside, I'll put on the PWHPA sweater that I have. You can support all women's hockey. And Sammy Jo Smallwood, I don't know if she was on Hockey Night or if she was just on Sportsnet doing a game, but she mentioned this, saying it doesn't matter what it is. Support women's hockey at all levels, all leagues, PHF. She even said it too. And I'm like, holy cow, this is the message we need right now. I don't care if you're, you know, if you are a season ticket holder for the Whitecaps. Awesome. For Minnesota Whitecaps. Great. I don't care if you go travel everywhere to go to every Dream Gap Tour showcase. That's fine. You can cheer for the other. You know, you can have the PWHPA showcase that they had in, was it in Ottawa? It was on YouTube. I know it wasn't on ESPN Plus, but at least it was streamed. I could have that. At the same token, I can have on my TV on ESPN Plus, I could have the PHF playoffs going on. You can have both. It's a very wonderful thing. You know, and this is it, you know, I'm not gonna try to, you know, date myself too much here. I'm only a little under 30, but I know this sort of thing. You know, Janner, you should know your logo looks very familiar to the old World Hockey Association.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it at all. Exactly. But I'm saying that league was vital to the success of the NHL we see today. You're telling me Bobby Hall at that age in 1972 was good enough to be getting paid $2 million? Yeah, sure, bud. But the WHA was forking out that kind of money. So what I'm trying to go for here is the fact that the NHL eventually came around and said, hey, we got to pay our players well, like that other league is. That other league may not be as good as us, but darn it, those guys are getting bucks. And Jerry Cheevers, Gordie Howe, Mark Tardif was a great player for the Montreal Canadiens, went to the Los Angeles Sharks. Yes, there was a Southern California team named the Sharks before San Jose Kids, just letting you guys know. But what I'm saying here is, even though there have been signs, the NHL has made motions, they had a meeting with both members of the PHF and PWHPA, having these two entities going head-to-head, whether there is a league or not for the PWHPA next season, having these two go head-to-head will only make women's hockey better. Now, what is the end result? I don't know. Did anyone know what the end result was going to be in 1974 when the WHA was hitting their stride against the National Hockey League? No. Now, 5 years later, yes, Wayne Gretzky and the Oilers and the Winnipeg Jets and the Nordique and all of them, yes, they all came to the NHL. And, you know, Harold Ballard was giving himself a pat on the back, made it seem like he did everything right, but that's for another day. But that's my point. Having these two right now and being able to support both as well. To your original question, Janet, if you say that one's better than the other, that's, you know what, great. That's great for discussion, good for, you know, back and forth. It's almost like saying, oh, who would you rather have, Draisaitl or Matthews? All right, here we go, kids. Let's have an argument. Who would you rather watch, PHF or PWHPA? Hey, the fact that you're both talking about them, that's awesome. It's being able to grow the game and continue talking about the game. It doesn't matter if, you know, on one side of the country, you're going to see Kendall Coyne-Gofield and Hillary Knight on the ice, or, you know, Marie-Philippe Poulin representing the Montreal region. And then on the other side, you're going to see Mikayla Grant-Mentis and Elaine Chewley for Toronto 6 taking on, you know, Allie Tunstrom and the Minnesota Whitecaps. You can cheer for both. That's what I never understood. That's the one problem I have with some people, is that they feel that some people think they only can cheer for one. No, you can cheer for anybody. This is not WWF, WCW. You can watch both, Jatter. Like, come on now. I really feel like I'm getting old here. I feel like I'm a 75-year-old man.
You answered all the points, though. You answered my next question already about PWHA, PHF, if Thule's can survive. And you got me sold on it. You've hit the arguments. That's why we had you on, Tyler. I know you're a reasonable guy. I know you're down to earth, and I know you're willing to have those conversations, with which we appreciate. So, man, this has been awesome. We got a bunch of clips. Our producers can go to work cutting up those. Buddy, I appreciate it. Thank you for all you do. We appreciate you in the game, and I can't wait to talk to you soon, because there's some huge things coming up for World Hockey Report.
Awesome, Janner. Absolutely, man. We'll talk soon.
Tyler Keogh right there, freelance play-by-play announcer. And, hey, you know what, Jacob? World Hockey Report phone lines, that's open right there. You've got 3 minutes to get that in. 1-825-439-9119. Dylan, to the Cody's Canucks hat fund, $2. Hey, I appreciate that. I'm sure we can find something. I'm sure we can whip something up. We can find a Canucks hat. It's got to be one of the cool ones, though, where it's either the old skate logo, kind of like the, you know, what you guys got going with the colors for BC Hockey Podcast. I kind of like that. I could rock it. It's got to have a cool, like, you know, it's got to be unique. I'm not wearing something that a million people have. I ain't rocking that, Dylan, but I appreciate it. And maybe we'll have to check out Fanatics or something to, you know, find a Canucks hat at some point in time. Hey, I got to get to this quote, though, from Gallagher on Stutzla, because we were talking about it. And again, Jacob, if you want to call in, phone line's open right now. Here's your opportunity. You want to have the conversation, phone line's open. Here's Gallagher's comments on Stutzla.
You know what? When I was 10 years old, our coach had a rule. If you lay on the ice, and we didn't have trainers, if the coach had to come on the ice and get you, you know, you're too hurt to play. You had to sit for minimum 3 shifts. He's a great player. Played against him for 2-3 years now. More than half the games we've played against him, he's laid on the ice and he's right back out there next shift. He lays on the ice, he acts like he's hurt, he sells a call, he's on the ice, that same power play. It's, you know, there's kids watching. We're role models. If I was a teammate of his, I'd tell him to smarten up. You know, it's just not a good look. Very talented player, very good player. He needs to stop laying on the ice. It's embarrassing.
Hard to disagree with that. But, again, coming from Gallagher, he's certainly not an angel. I don't know if you'd put him in that category ever. Well, hey, Jacob, one of the phone lines open. We're going to snap it off to a commercial break here, and we're going to come back to the gambling guru himself, Pete Tucci from Pete's Power Plays. He's next. It's World Hockey Report. We're coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports and the Hockey Podcast Network. Two titles are up for grabs on the stacked UFC 273 fight card. Join the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New customers can bet just $5 on any fighter and get $100 in free bets, win or lose, guaranteed. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the excitement. Everyone can play for a share of millions in prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy MMA Contest. DraftKings safe, secure, reliable. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $5 on UFC 273 and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN this Saturday at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. 21 plus, restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
We'll be right back.
Take your game to the next level with Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Pro Rock is changing the way we buy top-of-the-line twigs. They're lightweight, balanced, and provide the perfect kick point, whether you're a pro hockey player or a beer league legend. Pro Rock Hockey Sticks are made for you. They're at a price point you can't beat, so check them out today at ProRock.com. Play like a pro rock.
Go back. Thrilled Hockey Report. Huge thanks to Tyler Keel for hopping on the show. If you missed any of the conversation, be sure to download the podcast after the fact. Thanks to our friends over at the Hockey Podcast Network, the absolute best. And yes, Dylan, we'll get on the Canucks hat fund. I'll look at one later tonight, and maybe we'll rock it next week for you. Appreciate Dylan, Isha, all the guys that rock the house with the Hockey Podcast Network. But now we're going to snap it over to our favorite hockey. He's the best bet guy for hockey pucks. It's Philly Pete from Pete's Power Plays. You can watch it Tuesday through Thursday, I guess. 10 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, noon Eastern Standard Time on 12 Ounce Sports. He's the king of the damn ice. Pete Tucci is on the show. Pete, what's happening?
Cody, what's going on, man? Glad to be a part of today's show with you. Hope things are good.
Hey, things are going great, and it has been too long, but we're also coming up on that time of the year where I find games are a lot tougher to cap right now. Like, I know you've had big nights, and it makes me look stupid being like, I got zero clue what's happening in the NHL, but also, like, we're seeing Florida go down by 4 or 5 goals multiple times and coming back and winning. Like, I have no clue how you keep a level head betting on these games.
Yeah, it's. I mean, Panthers are not going to go past the second round if they're going to give up these goals like this. Give up 6 goals, come back. I mean, it's spectacular what they're doing. No one's stopping them on offense. Like, it's this team's on fire right now. But if they want to make a solid, you know, if they want to make a run to the cup, man, defense is going to have to eventually come through for them.
I fully agree with that. They've definitely got to step it up. Hey, what's going on with your Flyers there? What was your thoughts on them scratching Yandel? You got a quick thought on his Iron Man streak being gassed?
Dude, you know what, man? I'm tired of, you know, Mike Yo. I'm through with it, man.
You're like, sick of him, man.
I mean, it's not right. I mean, this is a guy that's having, you know, consecutive games, you know, 989. And why not keep it going? Flyers are out of contention. What's it going to hurt? It's not going to hurt anything. You know, just let him. I was actually sickened when I heard that he's going to be scratched, and it absolutely made no sense to me. But that's just typical of the franchise and our organization. It's just that's how it's just been. And, you know, this is something that this guy wants to do. Let him play. And you know, again, we're not fighting for anything. We're out of the playoffs. And just let the kid play. I mean, let him play. Like, that's his job, you know. So I just thought it was just outright disrespected. And it's just a typical turn of our organization, you know, over the past season. It's just this how it's been. Coaching needs to be, you know, changed ASAP. And, you know, I just thought it was disrespected for him.
I think Yo's gone after the season. Sports fans in and says we got to play the Flyers again tomorrow. So I'd assume he's a Jackets guy, sports fan. I don't know. I mean, honestly, like, the Flyers aren't a team that really scares anyone right now, but they're also a team with Carter Hart between the pipes, and you know he can get hot at any time. Hey, betting trends. We got to dive into that here before the show ends and we don't talk about anything. What are you liking right now out of the East? What's been buzzing and working for you? Because you've had a few huge days. If people don't follow you on Twitter, go check it out at the Real Pete Tooch on Twitter. But what's been working for you?
Yeah, I mean, you know what, dude? I'm just completely done with the unders. I think I might have bet unders maybe 6 times this season. And I thought, you know, you're heading to the final stretch of the regular season, and maybe teams are playing tighter. And we're not seeing that. For instance, like the Florida Panthers, giving up goals and getting goals. I mean, Leafs, too. I mean, a team that's been inconsistent goal-wise, turning it up a notch. And scoring at will. I mean, you know, it's just been unders are just so scary to bet on. And I thought it'd be a lot better going like cruising into April, taking some unders, but it's just not working out for me. So overs have been trending. I mean, Florida Panthers, I don't care if it's a friggin' over under at 7 or 8. I mean,
hammer it.
They're still cashing it out. they're cashing it out. Yeah, I mean it's unbelievable how no matter what they're down 4-1. I mean, you know, Buffalo over the weekend they were down 3-1, 4-1. They come back and you know basically make a whole new game out of it and it goes over. I mean it's just it's unbelievable what this team can do. It that's how scary good this Panthers is. The Panthers team is offensively that is. You know, and you know Maple Leafs as well. Another team that's been trending on the overs. You know, and then you look at teams like the Tampa Bay Lightning. Trending wise, they've been on unders as of late. You know, this team that you're expecting to see goals. And Vasilevskiy has been pretty consistent as of late too. So I mean, they're giving up goals. Big game tonight as they go to DC to play the Caps. I mean, they both teams need a win. And you know, Tampa's been consistent. Islanders are knocking on the doorstep of Washington. And it's scary. It's scary to think, you know, Islanders lost last night and you know to a decent Dallas team. This could be a game that could go over. But overs have been trending more than I thought heading down to the stretch of the regular season. So we're going to keep rocking these overs, man. I mean, I have no choice. I really don't.
Well, no choice but to keep making people money, that's for sure. Sign up and become a client of Pete Tucci's today if you want to make some serious money. Sports fan says Jackets are going to make a comeback. Claude Giroux's a Panther. Yes, that's true. Brad Marchand, got to suspend him. He's a rat. Hey, I mean, you know, everyone can, you know, hate Brad Marchand, but I think if he's on your team, you probably love him. And I think every single hockey fan would agree with that. Pete, you brought up overs and, you know, consistency, Vasilevskiy, this and that. Is there anyone worth chucking a little future on for a Stanley Cup right now? Like, when you look at odds for a cup, is there someone who... not maybe out of the picture. Like, is it worth it to chuck some money on Vegas right now? Is it worth it to chuck a little bit of money on the Isles and say, hey, it's hockey. Anything could happen. I don't know.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I have a client of mine that put in a future for the beginning of the season. He put in a future for the Caps to make the playoffs. And now he's debating on hedging it out and taking it with the Islanders. I mean, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I know they lost last night, tough game. But, I mean, this team has been playing really good as of late. They got some momentum going, you know, knocking on the doorstep of the Capitals. I mean, this is why this game tonight against the Bolts is very, very crucial for the Capitals. But looking at, I should have mentioned this a little while ago, but, I mean, I placed a future about, I don't know, maybe about a couple weeks ago on the Calgary Flames. And, you know, they were 15-1. Now this was, again, this was probably about a month ago. And now you're looking at it about a couple of weeks ago. Now they're up to about 8 or 9-1, if you can get that. Yeah, it's still good, you know, still good odds there. I mean, this team's been playing really, really good. You know, it's just tough to stop this Flames team. They're good. I know Monahan, you know, was a little bit of he's been a scratch as of late, but he's been on the fourth line and it's not really, you know, they'll be okay without
He's him. Done for the year now. He's getting hip surgery. So yeah. Monahan's done. That's you know, you mentioned the West. Also, Lauren says my Anaheim Ducks are going to be likely eliminated from the playoffs in the coming days or weeks. Yes, they are. Thankfully, Eakins will be gone as his contract expires after the season. I don't know, Lauren. Do you think Eakins is the issue? Like, there's a lot of teams with coaching problems, but unless you're getting a guy like Bruce Boudreau to leave Vancouver and come down to Anaheim, I don't know if there's someone better than Dallas Eakins right now. Unless you got someone in the minor system or, you know, maybe you're happy with an assistant coach and you can promote him. I don't think Eakins is the real issue right now. They're building a weird squad. They're at a very weird crossroads. They're very against moving John Gibson when they should and get as much value as you can for him. Also, sports fan says, true to my Brad Marchand, you hate him if you play against him. You'd love him if he's on your team. So, sports fan, I agree with you there. Lauren, I'd be interested to hear, though, who you think should become the next coach of the Anaheim Ducks. And Pete, I want to ask you, the Edmonton Oilers right now, overs seem to be a thing that were happening before. Now it's unders. Another low-scoring game against San Jose. You know, they've played in a couple of tight battles with the Kings, and the unders, or the over-unders, still been around 7 for a lot of those. So when you see 7 by the Oilers, like, I don't know what it's going to be against LA tomorrow night or Friday night. Are you kind of trending towards under for some of those teams that are starting to dial it in before playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, prior to last night's under, I mean, Edmonton, I believe, was 9-1 in the last 10 with the overs. and it's just been remarkable. That's another team that was like, okay, you would think they're an over team with how amazingly dangerous their offense is. They were inconsistent. They stopped scoring, and then they went hot, scoring goals left or right. Didn't even matter. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. Prior to San Jose, you had a 6-1 victory against Anaheim. That was a push. I mean, it was probably a 6-6.5 spot, so that cashed out. You had an Oilers-Blues 6-5, 11-goal night. That went over. Kings-Oilers, that was probably a 6.5. I mean, most of these are going over for the most part, or pushing if it was at 7 until last night. So, you know, it could have just been an off night. I know between these two teams, it's very physical, and it seems to me it's very low scoring when these two teams play. And I don't know, I think that's just a little hiccup. Don't get me wrong. Just the way they've been scoring at will lately. I want to give it a couple more games. If they do trend under for the next 2-3 games, then maybe I could start thinking about maybe, you know, we'll get that under trend. But for one game, I wouldn't worry about it too much, because like I said, the previous 4 games prior to that all went over the total of whether it was 6, 6.5, and at worst pushed at a 7.
That's fair. Yeah, I can see some of those starting to trend downwards. And we're going to get to some of the games tonight here. A couple more comments rolling in. Appreciate everyone who's hopping in the live chat here on the Hockey Podcast Network and 12 Ounce Sports. Lauren says, I see Eakins finally being gone because Pat Verbeek's going to want his own coach. I think that's fair. But also for Pat Verbeek, yeah, if you're picking your new coach, you better start building your damn roster properly. Because, you know, moving some of those pieces instead of signing guys like DeLaurier, like get the most for Gibson right now. And I wasn't meaning you actually got to bring Bruce Boudreau back. I mean, a similar coach to that, where, you know, she's happy Randy Carlyle was the last head coach who got him over the hump. Sure, I think that's a fair one, but again, Randy Carlyle's are a dime a dozen. Everyone knows how hard it is to get a coach. So, Pete, let's quickly go over the games for tonight then, and if there's one way or another, again, you don't have to give out your client plays. We'll save those, and we'll get everyone following you on Twitter there. I know you're dropping some huge numbers now, and the show is still Tuesday to Thursday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Hey, Red Wings and Jets tonight, who do you like? The Wings are coming off of a tough back-to-back, but a big win over Boston.
Yeah, so that was actually my big dog play of the night last night on the show that I gave out. Plus 170 on the money line. That was a show play, and the puck line as well, +1.5. So that was a huge value winner for those that took it. Big win. A lot of goals scored there. But now you travel to Winnipeg, and I think the Jets are due. I'm all over the Jets here tonight. I'll be completely honest with you. Jets on the puck line look pretty good to me. I'm also on the over 6. I had the over 6 locked in this morning. Now it is at 6.5. It was at +100. You know, still good odds. I think we get over there. And, you know, honestly, I think the Jets do most of that damage tonight, knowing how the Wings did pretty damn good the other night against Boston. So, and if you're a team total person, I do it once in a while, team totals, but the Jets team total over 3.5, I believe you can get that at -140. Probably as juice as I would go when it comes to team totals, but definitely something to consider, knowing that the Jets should be ready for this one tonight.
I don't hate it. I also don't love it on that one. Okay, moving along. Lightning, they're in Washington to face the Capitals. Is this as simple as hammer the over?
Yeah, I'm on the over 6 here as well. Talked about that on the show today as well. This is going to be a toss-up of the game between these two teams. I mean, I mentioned to you earlier, you know, Lightning, as consistent as they've been, you know, what can we see from this team? You know, we know they are entitled for a cup run. Again, we know that. And then the Caps, you know, I think the Caps have more pressure, I think. You know, like I said, Islanders basically creeping up on them, breathing down their backs. Capitals are the ones that, hey, let's wake up, boys, and let's get this game tonight and win this one at home, because, you know, Islanders lost last night. Let's get that game ahead and win tonight. So that Caps money line is my dog to play the night, +130 for the Capitals at home, and the over 6.
Desperate. I think Blues money line against Seattle, that's an easy play where you can parlay it in with something as well. Vegas against Vancouver, I don't know. Vegas is always a toss-up, but I think right there you're probably looking at the over again. Last one I'll ask you about, we got 30 seconds here. Flames and Ducks. Calgary on the road. They've had some issues of late. They're getting pretty good value here. Do you mind the Flames on the money line?
Yeah, that's a lot of that's a lot of juice to put on the money line for me. But I mean, they should take care of business here. You know, they won the last two meetings head to head, and basically owned the Ducks in the last five, dating back to 2020. So you know, they're 4-5 against the Ducks in the last five. You know, and I just think that if you want to consider it a decent like even parlay, you can match up the Flames with the Blues at -105. I think that should be a guarantee. Yeah, that just, I saw that this morning. I said this should be a guarantee winner. And don't get me wrong, nothing's a lock ever in the NHL. But when I'm looking at this slate, you know, Ducks have nothing to fight for, and you know the Flames, as here and there, you know, are on the road. I just think that this is a game where you have to win and take care of these teams that are no longer in playoff contention. And, you know, and a Blues Flames money line of -105 is probably the way to go here tonight. Or you could just take the Flames -1. I believe that's like at -165-ish. Again, a little pricey for my liking. But if you want to play it safe, do that two-teamer.
Pete, I appreciate you. Your bets are always spot on. I love the Flames and Blues tonight. That's a great parlay. You hit it on the head. Appreciate you. Take care.
All right, Cody. Thanks a lot, man. I'll talk to you.
Pete Tucci right there. Be sure to check out his show Tuesday through Thursday on 12 Ounce Sports. The best in hockey gambling. Best bets. King of the Ice has got that covered for you. Pete Tucci there, my guest. Hey, if you missed any of the conversation, download it. If you want the Pete Tucci bets, he said he had hammered Detroit last night, so you probably should listen to him. Go download the podcast on DraftKings, promo code THPN. Huge shout out to Tyler Kuehl for coming on and having that conversation. It's not always comfortable talking about things like the PHF when there is bitter rivalries involved. A lot of anger, a lot of hate, but we can have those conversations and we can grow on it. And he makes some great points about the NHL and the WHA. You should listen back to it because Tyler Kuehl had a ton of insight. And Adam Ehrmantraut, of course, my go-to guy on World Hockey Report. He joined us at the start to break down all things currently NHL. And thanks to you, the listener, for hopping in the conversation today. Be sure we'll be back here next Wednesday, same time, same place, everyone. Be kind. Be better. We'll be right back.